Welcome to Inspiring Elders, a 13-part documentary produced and presented by Marie-Angeline Lascaux with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland. What happens physiologically and psychologically as we grow older? What is the role of an elder in our society? What does positive aging mean? What part does nutrition play in remaining fit and healthy? And why is it so important to remain active in our later years? Why do so many of our elders engage in music, art, dance, poetry? Can we start new careers in our 50s and 60s? What is the role of spirituality? And what does it mean to live a fulfilled life? All these questions and more will be answered by a panel of experts, including a professor of gerontology, medical doctors, an Ayurvedic doctor, a homeopath, a psychologist, dancers, writers, artists, teachers, healers, all of whom share a passion for life and a commitment to remain engaged with the younger generation. In this program, Mo Griffin and Anna Chu talk about the healing wells of Ireland. Mary Brady opens her eyes to what we are doing to the earth. Dr. Don Brennan and Dr. Eric Dilworth talk about the relationship between sacred geometry and the structure of our body. Sister Rachel shares a knowledge of natural remedies that can be found in our gardens. This program will close with a guided meditation, walking through Ardnery Garden, which we build using the principles of sacred geometry. Would you be able to tell our listeners how old you are?
87 years old.
Could you tell me a little bit about your life? You have always been interested in holistic matters.
I suppose that the moment of a recognition where everything sort of came together was the harmonic convergence, which was the first time that the whole world had participated in this. So all over the world, at a specific time and on a specific day, the people joined in holy places or wherever they wanted to be. The whole movement started in New Zealand, and it was like a wave traveling then to Egypt and then on to the United States. And the message from above was that provided we managed to get 400,000 people all over the world, that something special was going to happen, that it was a signal that a whole new world was going to open up for humanity. And that was the beginning of the actual point, because we did reach the 400,000.
And when was that, Mo?
That was in about 1987, I suppose. From that time on, it was the beginning of real change.
You spend a lot of time and energy working with the sacred wells.
Yes, the holy wells are very interesting because it would seem that they are perhaps as much as 4,000 years old, much older than most people think. While I was experimenting with the holy wells, I came across a historic reference to a holy well called Slonia, which means health. This coincided with reference to the fact that the holy wells could be as old as 4,000 years, and yet in Ireland they've been totally neglected. But they were healing wells, and they were also venerated.
What have we lost in losing our interest in the holy well?
I would say that we have lost the knowledge that water is a being, that it responds to being treated well. And the ancient ones knew that, so they venerated their water. Water was a being. It was part of themselves. And the earth was a being. And the sun was a being. And the moon was a being. Everything was part of their lives. But it was not just something. It was a being. It existed. It could think.
Tell us about the healing aspect of these wells.
Well, the exciting part, the very exciting part about this was, one of the things I discovered was that the ones that were holy wells, nearly always were covered and then there would be a kneeling stone in front. The water of the holy wells comes through rock, so therefore it's purified all the time, and it has to keep moving, not static. Now, if you put your hand down under the stone and you can feel that there's a hole under there and that the water is going out through there, and very often it's going out under the ground, and it comes out at a certain space. And the reason is because all the holy wells, when they come out, they go into a stream, river, lake, because all water needs to go to the sea. That's part of its journey, then, that it's not just left. The Irish people used to say that if you upset the holy water in a well, it got offended and moved away. And actually, it's quite true, it does happen, and it has happened. The water senses when people say, oh, it's a load of rubbish, and then throw a bit of muck into the well, no hope of the water returning.
Earth. We drain away our earth's dark blood and burn her skin for entertainment. We watch her storms of tears unmoved, ignore her mounting fever, and we won't lift a hand to open a gate or wash a cup. We ride the air like gods, earth's spoiled children wanting more, while she prepares to flick us off like flies and start again.
A couple of years ago, I moved back to Clonus, where I live now, to my home, house, farm, whatever. Didn't ever plan to come here, but we are here again. And so we've spent a lot of time on the land. Maybe just, I suppose I could call it reclaiming the land. There's a beautiful, peaceful sense about the land, and suppose that we've built on that. We've reclaimed our well. I did a lot of work many years ago with Mo Griffiths on the wells. Mo is very passionate about water and about wells, and is very wise about how valuable the wells are, because they are our purest source of water, and they have been neglected over the years. And they're ancient. They're over 5,000 years old, the old wells. Many of them were taken over by Christianity and were given saints' names. But they were known for their healing powers for thousands of years before that. What I learned from Mo was that the wells are always connected to streams and rivers. And most of the wells in Ireland had healing powers of some sort or another. Some of them for jaundice, some of them for eyes, some of them for throat, different things. People would go to the well for healing, and then they would leave their gifts at the wells to say thank you. Now, that still happened in many areas. Still, people have patent days for the wells where people come and honour the wells. So the blessings, if you like, or the healing from the wells would flow up through the water, through shale, into rock, and flow into the well pool. And from there they would flow out to the streams and then to the rivers. And so the healing and blessings of those wells would flow all over the country. That was the traditional view. And I'd say there's a lot of truth in that, but a lot of the wells have been blocked or been dug over or been built upon or been poisoned in some ways with fertilizer from the lands. I did a lot of work with Mo on cleaning out wells over the country, but then I had never done anything on my own, so when I came back here, we cleaned out our own well. It's flowing again, and it's flowing beautifully. We're just trying to create a very peaceful place here, where hopefully others can come and enjoy the peace and tranquility of this place too. For me, that sort of work is fulfilling as well as my other work, so that's obviously part of who I am. So I think to feel fulfilled is to be expressing yourself, knowing who you are, and expressing yourself with other people, because there's not much good knowing yourself if you can't express that self with other people and with God.
God's pharmacy is our gardens, our fields, the goodness that's out there in it. And obviously, even for the old cancer, chickweed is brilliant. And I've known people that got rid of cancer on their skin or on their lips and everything, just with the juice of that and squashing it up and just putting it on. That's the chickweed. In the country, when the people would maybe cut their hands or something like that, and they would get a plantain, it's a long leaf like that, and they would wrap around it. The blood would stop flowing, and it would heal it. And there's sometimes, fortunately, we need an antibiotic. All right, if it's very bad, let us take it. But I think that really with the old garlic and stuff like that, citricidal, it's the extract from the grapefruit seed, that definitely cures the throats. Somebody would be having just gargle with it, cracks the phlegm and everything. And you could put it on the skin. In fact, you could rub it on furucas. Definitely, honestly. Well, as I say, there's so many of our plants out there. You know, they're all so good, so wonderful. And they're all for different things, you know, aren't they? For different ailments. Of course they are, you know. Yeah. I mean, even the marigolds, that's beautiful for cancer too. Yeah. And you can buy it in creams. They do make it, and some people make them at home. And then the dandelions. We used to be told if we played with it, we'd wet the bed. And they call them pee the beds. The natural diuretic. And in fact, they say the stalk itself, you'd clean it before, and then take off the flower. And that's good for people who are diabetics. They say they should have 10 of them a day. And isn't it amazing? If I see weeds or anything, I can't pull them up and destroy them.
The youth of today, a lot of them suffer from depression. Is there any plans for that?
Well, there is. We know that St. John's wort and valerian is another brilliant one. You just take the leaf and the flower and just wash it, put it into a cup, pour boiling water and drink it.
Make herbal tea with it.
Make herbal tea.
I think the worst time, as I look back in my life, would be, say, about 17 on and into the 20s and almost just up to the 30s. It's such a difficult time. You don't fit in anywhere. You don't know enough. You put on a big show, but underneath you get hurt very easily. It's a very difficult time, I think. I think it's the time when we need friends, and that's the time when we maybe don't have them. But the ones who are being neglected, in my opinion, sadly very neglected for generations, are the young people from 15 to nearly 30. All their dreams and inspirations disappear because they never receive support. In their own particular way, the young people are not interested in their parents or anybody else preaching to them. And yet, these young people are the hope of the future. They are the future. They are the ones who will be looking after this planet in years to come. They will listen to each other, that's the point. And they can be very inspired. You know, they have so many dreams, and yet they watch them coming to nothing, and so then they become disillusioned. Hanging around there's always a young man or a young woman. They're on the right path. They can inspire the others. We have to make them feel that they are very valuable. They are very important to this whole planet. They're opening the door. Strangely enough, very often, the young people would come to an older person and say, well, what do you think about this or whatever? That is very interesting. It can happen. So it's just a case, really, of keeping our eyes open and making sure to get the leader to understand that they are all suffering and that they must be there for their friends. And that is a very good way for the young people to begin to love each other and to know that they always have someone that they can go to if they're in trouble. I worked in Nature's Way for 20 years. Nobody knew anything about anything. They didn't know about their auras. They had no knowledge about anything. People came in to ask what it was all about, and then we spent a lot of time telling them of things like homeopathy and the bachelor remedies. And then slowly but surely they started coming in, and we would give them whatever they needed, and it would work, hopefully. And they kept coming in for more information about everything. They were so grateful when it worked, and they were so open and so straight.
If people can learn more about it, this is the big thing, isn't it? For people to know and what to do to be able to keep themselves well and healthy. You see, I believe we were created by God for Himself, but for one another. So we have an obligation. If we do know anything, reach out and let people know about it. It's all the Lord's work. I definitely put it all down to Him.
We're not bodies with thoughts. We're a field of pure potentiality of consciousness. And that same field which structures your physiology and mine, like different waves and the ocean of being, that same field of being is structuring galaxies, structuring the universe at this moment. And so the same laws of nature, the same patterns of organization of the structures around us are the same laws of nature that structure our body. So there was a Vedic architecture, how to structure buildings, which are actually totally in tune with nature's laws of structuring, the laws that structure the universe and the planet. And so buildings built on these principles are more in tune with the laws of nature that structure us as well. So actually, it's a healthy building syndrome rather than a sick building syndrome that people will experience being healthier just by virtue of the building you live in. So this architecture deals with placement in terms of the location of the house, deals with proportions within the house and positioning of the various rooms. And so you thereby get a flow of energy. It's to do with the sun. This house faces east, so you catch that sunrise. Your kitchen looks to the east, you're there in the morning. But in the evening, you're in the sitting room and it faces the setting sun. So it's all about actually the flow of life's energy in us, true and motivated and supported by the structures that surround us. It actually leaves us more expanded and not encapsulated by a house.
The numbers from 1 to 9 were said to have a very important hidden secret that had been lost. It's much more than just numerology.
The whole structure of your body is based on sacred geometry. There are energetic fields around your body that are basically a tetrahedron, icosahedron, dodecahedron. Your physical body is your most dense vibration. Your vibrations expand out to the etheric body, to the emotional body, the mental body, the soul body, the spirit body. And as you go out to the spirit body, you're going out 55 meters from your physical body. And out at that level, you have a geometrical field around you in the form of an icosahedron. Every consciousness, every animal, every living form on the planet has these energetic bodies. It keeps you alive, it keeps you on the earth, it keeps the spirit in the physical. And even the earth itself has got an icosahedron around it. And that icosahedron, it's got a north pole and a south pole. The north pole is quite near to the Great Pyramid of Giza. And the south pole is on the island of Maria. As they go around the planet, these lines form energy points. And these energy points is where you have holy buildings or holy sites, sacred sites, like one of them being Clonmacnoise. Your chakras are related to these points and you get these energy points right through your body. So we are energy and information. That's all we are. There's three pyramids in my back garden, and one of them is a replica of the Great Pyramid of Giza, and another pyramid is a replica of the Temple of Man in Luxor. And I could say the third pyramid has a geometry that has never been on the planet before. we're evolving more into this formless energy, this space of being, of a space beyond the mind.
Being in nature's way, I was always wondering about your healthy diet and taking health walking and all the rest of it is included. But I tried something else. I said, okay, so now I have a headache. Why do I have a headache? Or why do I have the flu? And I would just go and meditate, and I would say, what have I done or thought or felt that was negative and has, you know, upset my balance? And I'd work through it and get rid of it. But as soon as I got rid of it, whether it was a headache or whether it was the flu, it would disappear. So that shows that we do it to ourselves. We will be the one producing the miracles and producing the change. This reform is about looking at our planet and ourselves and our laws, the way we live our lives, in a gentle way. There's no rebellion, no shouting, no shooting, nothing like that. This is a responsibility of every single human being on this planet.
I will now lead you into a guided meditation.
Walking through Ardnery Garden, which we build using the principles of sacred geometry.
Sit comfortably with your back supported against the chair, feet firmly on the ground, and your spine and crown lifted towards the ceiling. Close your eyes and let go of whatever it is that's been happening in your life or is about to happen in your life. Part your lips just enough to release your jaws and bring your awareness to the breath. Breath flowing in and breath flowing out. And with each new breath, you're inviting peace and relaxation. Allowing this peace and relaxation to spread to your whole body. Your whole body relaxing more and more with each new breath. And as you breathe out, you are letting go. Letting go of any problems, any worries, any anxiety or fear, anything that's been bothering you, weighing you down. Each out breath, a letting go. Imagine coming with me on a journey in Ardnery Garden, a beautiful garden in Clonmacnoise that was built using sacred geometry. As you enter the garden, you notice three wooden pyramids, different size, different energies. You also notice different meditation chambers, each built using the sacred geometry principles. As you walk around the garden, you decide to take off your shoes so your feet can touch the soft green grass. It is a warm summer day. The sky is blue without any clouds. You feel the warm rays of the sun on your skin. All around you, all is quiet, all is still. You find yourself walking through a beautiful part of the garden with trees arranged all around. As you move towards the center, you rest there for a while, enjoying the stillness. When you feel ready, you move forward and you continue exploration of the garden. You see the throne of consciousness right at the top where you can sit and observe the whole garden. You enter one of the wooden pyramids, climbing up the steps to reach the top. Sitting in the center of the pyramid, breathing in the positive vibrations, your heart feels at peace, at one. You can stay in this pyramid for as long as you wish. When you feel ready, you go down slowly again
and continue to explore the garden. There is a bigger pyramid, with again a different energy. It feels more vibrant, more energized. You can stretch your body, and then moving towards the sacred labyrinth. The labyrinth is different from a maze in that there is only one way in and one way out. You can do a walking meditation, setting your intention before you start walking the labyrinth. What is it that you want to invite in your life? What is it that you want to let go of? As you walk towards the center of the labyrinth, you focus on your intention. Keep repeating it in your head over and over, as if it had already happened. When you get to the center, you then give thanks, and all the way back again. Give thanks for the gift. Bring yourself gradually back to an awareness of the breath flowing in and out of your body. And when you feel ready, let the breath move deeper and open your eyes to a new moment.
You were listening to Inspiring Elders, a 13-part documentary produced and presented by Marie-Angeline Lascaux with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland. This program featured Mo Griffin, Mary Brady, Sister Rachel, Anna Chu, Dr. Don Brennan, and Dr. Eric Dilworth. The music on this program is from Seamus Byrne, and you can find out more about his music on www.brotherseamus.ie. If you want to get in touch with any of the contributors, you can contact us through www.springintolife.ie. Tune in again next week to find out about the importance of art and musicality in our golden years.